Halleluja, 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 halleluja. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. Can you think of anyone you know whose greatest joy is giving people that perfect gift? Or who enjoys helping others most? Often when they won't spend a dime on themselves. My father is one of the most generous people that I know. During the height of the Great Recession, he saw how many people were needing the help of Crisis Assistance Ministries in Charlotte, North Carolina. And so he pledged to give to Crisis Assistance each month an amount equal to what he spent on the utilities at his office. And he has continued to be generous in this and many other ways. In this from a man who is wearing the jeans I outgrew in high school because, well, they have some good wear left in them. Do you know people like that? Do you have somebody in your mind? Those people you have in your mind who find great joy in providing for others. God is like that to the nth degree. Do not be afraid, Jesus says to his disciples, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, the language used means it's an ongoing action. One that started now is sure, but not necessarily fully completed at the moment. It's the equivalent of Jesus saying, hey, don't worry, you've already won that $1.28 billion lottery. It's yours, even if it isn't in the bank yet. So then, how are you going to live? Do not be afraid, Jesus says. It's a phrase used frequently in Scripture, right? We heard it just this morning. God says to Abram in our reading from Genesis, "Do not be afraid. I am your shield, and your recompense for following me will be great. Do not be afraid." What is it that you fear right now in your life? I asked that question on Wednesday, and I got answers that included a changing climate, flooding in Kentucky, war in Ukraine, conflict here in the U.S. I'm sure it would also include losing things, our health, our jobs, our family, our freedom, our privileges. Any of those resonate with you? For Abram, his biggest fear is that his life will mean nothing. That all he has will be inherited by someone not of his own blood. Now, we could point to the text from Ecclesiastes last week and remind him that will always be the case, ultimately. But in that day and age, it was a source not only of anxiety, but great shame to not have a male heir. God says, don't be afraid. Look up, Abram. You see all those stars? Your descendants will be greater in number than even those. This abundant generosity is who God is. All Abram wants is one kid. That really is all that matters to him. One son to carry on his name, to inherit what he has to give. And God says, look up, I'm going to give you as many descendants as there are stars and more. God wipes out any cause for Abram to be afraid, so now he can live free from fear. What a gift! One that God is pleased to give us. Now, just before this reading in chapter 12 of Luke, Jesus has told the disciples not to worry about their lives. Now, remember, anytime you hear the word worry in the New Testament, remember what that means? It literally means being pulled apart, right? Each worry. How will I be able to keep this job? Can we afford that? How will I be able to retire? It each pulls a piece of us away. We know this feeling, don't we? It's the thing that keeps us awake at night. It literally pulls us apart bit by bit. Don't worry. Don't be pulled apart, Jesus says. For God provides all that creation needs, right? Rain for plants and animals, trees and insects, sun, food. How much more will God provide you daily bread? You who are created in the very image of God, who God looked at the beginning of creation and said, yeah, that's really good. And now besides, Jesus says, God has already given you the kingdom of God. And we know from our text from Galatians a few weeks ago that kingdom is rooted in the self-sacrificial love of God as shown to us in Jesus. And from that root of love grows the character of the kingdom. It's also known as the fruits of the Spirit, right? First of which is love, and then joy, which springs from the grace of God. Peace, which remember is not absence of conflict. Remember this one? It's shalom, it's wholeness. It's the opposite of worry. Worry pulls us apart. The peace, the shalom of God, the wholeness of God pulls us back together. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the kingdom of God. And all of this God has already given to you. So rejoice, you've already won. There's no longer any reason to be afraid, to worry. Because there's nothing that happens in this world that can change the fact that the kingdom is already yours. So live as if that were real. That's faith. Abram, who won't see that promised child for several years, and who will never see the promised multitudes, trusts the word of this God who he has followed out into the wilderness, and he begins to live as if that promise were truly his. Faith, as the author of Hebrews reminds us, is the assurance that things hoped for will happen. That those things not seen are there when they are promised by God. It is by faith so many of our ancestors have lived as if this promise of the kingdom were true, even though they have not received it in its fullness. Indeed, sometimes they have only seen it from afar and greeted it, as Galatians says. What an image. They see it. They wave hi to it. Knowing I ain't going to get there yet, but it's there, it's mine. But never have they not had what is both promised and already given. Do not be afraid, little flock. Do not worry yourselves into pieces, because God has already given you the kingdom, has loved you back into life, and opened to you life fuller and more abundant than what the reign of this world can give. Certainly more than your worrying can give you. Because when has your worrying ever changed or prevented anything? So transform your mind. Change your stinking thinking, as one of my professors would say, and try it God's way. So much of the grief in our lives is driven by this fear that is the way the world thinks. This bitter divide in our nation has roots in the fear of losing something. Privilege, power, influence, the way things have always been. But what we find is that when we follow the logic of God and not this world, what looks like loss is actually gain. This is God's thinking, right? Paul talks about this. What looks like weakness to the world is God's greatest strength, Christ on the cross. And so when we welcome and celebrate the diversity of God's creation, our life is fuller and more abundant. It adds to the pie, it doesn't take away from it. This call to not be afraid, to not worry, does not mean we don't take seriously or don't respond to injustice, to those things that challenge the reign of God. Rather, it means we are free to do so because we know the kingdom is already ours. We already live within its bounds and under the reign of God who provides for us abundantly, so we have nothing to fear. We do not worry ourselves into pieces, because what does that worry do anyway except pull us apart? And what does God give us? Peace. Shalom. Wholeness. And so we are bold to speak up and act when the kingdom is not being fully expressed here and now. We are free to be generous with what God has first given us, to join the delight of God in sharing our abundance with others so that they might not be afraid about where their next meal will come from, where they will sleep, how they will find treatment for their disease or illness. Do not be afraid, my friends. You're already winners. God has called and chosen you and delights in giving it all away. That's who God is. God is not some curmudgeon demanding perfection for a scrap of heavenly grace, but a prodigal father who showers all God's children with abundance such that their cups overflow. And if it doesn't seem like it to you, maybe you're looking at the wrong cup. You ever see that happen? This is probably going to get me into trouble with the comparison, but I've seen it happen with small children and with pets. They're looking for abundance in a particular place, their food bowl or whatever, and they miss the treat that you've just laid out next to them, right? Then you keep trying, no, over here, but they're stuck looking here, going, where's my stuff? If we miss the abundance of God, maybe we're looking for that abundance in the wrong cup. Look in the right place, for the kingdom is yours, and it lies not in power or prestige or money. Rather, it lies in an abundance of love, of grace, of peace, kindness, forgiveness, joy, generosity, a world in which all have enough and more than enough. So do not be afraid, my friends in Christ. Rather, trust in the one who has provided time, proved time and again to be faithful, not only to us, but to our ancestors, who delivers on impossible seeming promises, more descendants than the stars. Yeah. Who calls us to something different from what the world says is worth pursuing, and who in Christ has given us a foretaste of that feast to come. You're going to get sick of hearing it, but maybe it'll get in. Do not be afraid, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you, to have already given you the kingdom, where God's love and peace, wholeness, shalom reigns. Thanks be to God. Now I'll invite us to stand, and you want to take any bets as to what hymn we're going to sing next? Let us stand and sing our hymn of the day.